Good morning to all.
Good morning.
We are glad for all of us being here, and if you're a guest here, we are very happy that you're here, and we hope that our time together is one that is edifying, encouraging, strengthening for you. You know, a comment was made earlier that we are here to worship, and sometimes we use the word worship, and we use it quickly without maybe knowing what we're doing when we're worshiping. Worship is our sending kisses to God. We are expressing our love to God. We are telling Him how much we love Him through the things that we're doing as we sing, as we pray, as we study, as we have the supper, as we contribute. All of these things are our way, following biblical guidance, of saying, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you for what you have done for us. And we want to, in return, honor him, and we want to love him and obey him and do his will. So worship is a very meaningful, very important thing that we do. This is the first Sunday of 2014, and this is a time for us to reflect. I've chosen to talk on a topical subject. Generally, I like to do an expository lesson, but today we're going to take inventory. Many of you know exactly what taking inventory means. You know, when I was a teenager, I worked at Sears, and there were times when you had to count every tiny little item to get a record of exactly what's in a store. Businesses and people take stock from time to time as a necessary part of existence. A business needs to know where they stand, and you have to take inventory to do that very thing. There are important reasons for inventory. It's to count and to organize what one has, to get a clear picture of what has transpired over the past, and then make plans for the future. Inventory helps you to see, is business good or is it not so good? Inventory is good to find things unexpected. You know, when you inventory things, sometimes you just come across something you had forgotten about. And things that are desirable, things that are not desirable. And inventory helps you to make plans for the coming year as to how you're going to improve, how you're going to do things differently and make changes. And so this morning, we want to talk a little bit in the next few minutes about a spiritual inventory. And Paul said to the Corinthians when he closed out his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now, what did Paul have in mind as to how to test yourselves, to examine oneself? I don't know exactly fully. I do know that he looked for the faith and hope and love in people's lives because he uses that as a standard throughout his letters. He's always looking for faith, hope, and love. But I've talked about that in the past, and I've preached about that in the past, and I'm going to look at some basic, very practical things for us to think about to take inventory in our lives. And these are things that we can ask ourselves as individuals, and things that we can ask ourselves about the Oceana Church of Christ, and do an honest soul-searching of where we stand. I see a lot of good things. I see some progress made over the past 3.5+ years, how God has blessed us in many ways. But I want you to remember, Jesus is always, he has those eyes of flame that can look into the heart and soul of every person and into the heart and soul of a church, of a congregation. He knows what's good to be commended, and he also knows those things that need changing or adjustment. And So we're going to talk about these things. First point I have on the lesson, and if you have the pew notes, if you have the bulletin, you'll see these points are listed out. Is my commitment to Christ deeper than last year, the same, or is it less? That's only a question you can ask. We can't look into each other's hearts, but we can look into our own heart and be honest, because God knows exactly what's in our heart. So ask yourself the question, is my commitment to Christ deeper than last year? Is it the same, or is it less than last year? So think over the last 12 months. That's what discipleship is all about. We're in the business of making a firm decision as a disciple. You know, I don't wake up every morning saying, I wonder if I'm going to follow Jesus today. You know, now we make decisions all the time. What am I going to have for breakfast or lunch or dinner and those kinds of things. But the decision that I made more than 40 years ago to follow Jesus was already made. So therefore, everything I do since that time is simply a playing out of the decision that I made back then. And that my decision when I was baptized into Christ was to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, to become like Him, to be committed to Him, for Him to be my everything. And so I don't wake up every morning saying, I wonder if I'm going to follow Christ today. That would be silly. That decision was made more than 40 years ago. And if you're in Christ, that decision was made by you. So think about this. Jesus spoke about counting the cost. Before a man builds a building or before he goes to battle, he counts what's the size of his army or does he have the money to be able to build the building. You know, in Luke 14, he talked about that principle of counting the cost. Commitment means he comes before family, self, and possessions. That's a big thing. And I'll prove it to you from Scripture. So I'm just not offering you my opinion. I'm going to give you words from Jesus himself. Very challenging words. Jesus said this, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Wow. Think about that. "He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. I love my family. We all love our families. But no one, not even family, is to come between us and the Lord. Our first commitment is always to be to our Lord Jesus Christ. So is my commitment greater today than it was a year ago, or is it less? To be committed to Jesus means that we are always wanting to draw closer to Him, to become more like Him, to know Him better, to understand Him better, to think more like Him. One of the things I want to do is I want to think like Jesus thought. And there's always work to be done in that area to become more like Jesus. So take inventory of my commitment. Commitment is that decision of who I am going to follow. Jesus has never failed me. People have failed me. I've been hurt and disappointed and let down by lots of situations and people. But Jesus has never failed me. Ever. So you know who I'm going to be true to? To my Lord Jesus. I will not forsake Him because I want to go to heaven. One day I want Him to look at me with a smile and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want. That is the delightful thought in my mind of what I want. Number two, taking inventory. Fellowship, body fellowship in particular. Am I involved in a Bible class on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings? Something to think about. Am I involved in a Bible class Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings? When we come together in our Bible study, there is great strength and encouragement and important things going on there. There is a mutual upbuilding. There is love that is reinforced. There is strength from numbers. Doesn't it feel great to see folks here, over 50 people here this morning? I can remember 3.5+ years ago when we met down in that other room, we had what? Less than 20. You know? Look at this. We love the fact that there is this mutual upbuilding thing going on. The holy refreshment that we receive, because there's a profane world out there, a world that wants to discourage us and drag us down, but we come together and we build each other up. We refresh each other as we come together. But the other thing about my fellowship, my body fellowship, my involvement in Bible study is that I am learning. We are constantly in a learning mode. There never comes a time when we have to stop learning, when we say, you know, I've learned it all. I have nothing more to learn. The more I learn, the more I realize, the more I have to learn, the more I need to learn, and how little I know. And so every time I do some study, it opens the vistas, and it opens the door to say, wow, I want to go through that. I want to learn more about my Lord. I want to understand Him better, understand my God. Doctrine is an important thing for us to learn. One of the first things said about the early Christians, the church, in Acts 2 is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and fellowship. Bible class helps us to keep good doctrine in His sight. John wrote this in 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses, that is to go beyond, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. So doctrine, just another word for teaching of Scripture, is constantly feeding our brain with good, healthy, right thinking. So Bible class helps us to do this. You know, there aren't many religious bodies that consider doctrine as important. But churches of Christ generally, traditionally, have thought that doctrine is an important thing to study. It's part of our overall life as a Christian. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. See? So loving God is not just an emotional thing. It is something done with the mind, with the thinking that we do up here. Listen to this, what it says about Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, this is Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, notice, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. That was the custom of Jesus. He liked to be at the synagogue when he had those opportunities. Number three, my influence. Taking inventory. What about my influence? We've talked about my commitment to Jesus. We've talked a little bit about attending Bible classes and spending time in Bible study. What about my influence? Am I making some effort to influence my neighbors for Jesus' sake? Am I trying to influence those around me for the sake of the Lord? Or am I just kind of putting a cocoon around myself and doing nothing? Why are we left on earth after we are baptized into Christ? Think about it. Why are we left on earth after we're baptized? If the only purpose that Jesus came to do was to save us from sin, and we're washed from our sin in baptism, then the best thing that can happen is for us to die and go to be with Him after baptism, after we come up out of the waters. But He leaves us on this earth for years, decades, for a long time. Why? Because He wants us not only to understand our commitment, but He wants us to influence those around us. He leaves us here on earth to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We pray for the lost, we hurt for them, we talk about them, we exhort them to win them, but if we don't speak, we will not win them. We must speak of Jesus to other people. It's very simple. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know deep, great things about the Bible. But if you know Jesus as the Son of God and as your Savior, you can say something about Jesus to others and plant the seed, plant the idea, and they'll perhaps want to learn more. Have you ever noticed that harvests do not come where seed has not been sown? Get a nice big farm field out there, plow it, get it all ready, have it in good shape, and then plant no seed. Are you going to get a crop? You aren't. You've got to plant the seed, the Word of God, in a field, in people's hearts, in order for a crop, in order for a harvest to come forward. A sower went out to sow his seed, and the seed is the Word of God. Number four, am I seriously studying the Bible 30 minutes or 15 minutes each day? That is, this is my own growth. Number four, what about my inventory of my own growth? Just as the Father in heaven wants to hear from us in prayer, he wants us to go to him in prayer, he wants to hear from his children and know that they think about him and love him and need him and express their needs to him. Likewise, the child wants to hear from his father. And the way we hear from our father is by looking at the Word. The Bible is God's great love letter to all mankind. It's God saying, I love you. You know, I mentioned in one of our classes that all the other religions of men, or the religions of men, I should say, are religions where men are reaching, trying to find God. They don't know how to find him, so they're reaching and doing things and hoping that they're going to find him and appease him. The religion of Jesus Christ is not that way. It is God seeking us. It is God sending his Son. He dies for us, he's buried, and he rises from the dead. And he does that to rescue us, to seek our salvation. And in my own growth, I need to spend time each day looking into his Word. If you don't have a reading program to read through the entire Bible in a year, I have one that I can share with you that works very well. It's not the typical one where you start in Genesis 1:1 on the first day of the year, and then you end up in Revelation 22 at the end of the year. You read a different section of the Bible every day of the week, Sunday through Saturday. So you're always going through a different section. By the end of the year, you've read through the entire Bible, but done it in different parts of the Bible. So I have that for you if you would like to look at it. Why is the Bible, why is the study of the Bible so important? Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? You know, we can be hard-headed sometimes. The word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now that sounds a little bit rough, but that's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, we need to take the Word of God and let it influence and affect us to break away those rough parts of our lives that need that. So my own growth is a very important part of this whole scene. If you don't grow, you die. If you don't grow, you die. You wilt and shrivel away. Number five on our list. Take inventory of my sanctification. What does that mean? It means, am I allowing God to have his way in me so that I become less and less and less like the world and more and more and more devoted to him? The word holy is another word that means to set apart or to sanctify. And what God wants for us is to set us apart, to sanctify us, so that we are a people for his own possession and used by his own perfect wisdom and understanding. We are to become like our Lord. Now, we've all had professors, we've had teachers that we can think back on in schools, memorable teachers, good teachers, ones that we have great memories of, who taught us well. But how many of us would ever become like those teachers? You know? I doubt that many of us would want to. We can learn wonderful things from human teachers, but Jesus is more than a teacher. He is Lord. So what we do is, when you're a disciple, is you follow Jesus in order to become more like Jesus, to become more like Him. That's sanctification. That's being set apart for His use. It is not merely sitting there like a student and learning, although that's part of it, that's important. We follow Jesus to become more like Him, to be sanctified into His will. Holiness is our aim. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. We sing the song, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. And then finally, number 6, taking inventory of my giving. And I'm talking about material gifts, that is the giving of money to the Lord's church, to His will. Am I giving to the utmost of God's prospering me? Would I give above my ability to do our job? Suppose there's a job that presents itself and it calls for more than what we already have. Would we be willing to give more in that special circumstance in order to accomplish something that God wants us to do? Am I giving to the utmost of God's prospering me? Again, that's a very personal choice. I'll tell you something that happened years ago. A beloved brother, and I love him dearly. He's gone from this life. And I used to go and study with him. His first name is Norman. I won't tell you what his last name is, but this is back in the 70s. We sat down and had a wonderful time eating and fellowshipping. I always like getting with Norman. And he said, Steve, I want you to do something for me. And I said, what's that? He said, I want you to tell me what I should be giving every Sunday for my contribution. I said, whoa, I can't do that. That's not my decision. That is your decision. I can't make that decision for you. That's a very personal and individual thing. That's between you and the Lord. I can't make that decision for anybody else. And each one of us has to make that personal decision on my inventory sheet. As am I giving to the utmost of what God has prospered me with? And because when we gave earlier, we are giving our time and money. We are giving part of ourselves, because when you work and go out and make a dollar, that's a reflection of you. That's a reflection of your sweat and work and time. And so you're giving to the Lord something of that. Faith is more than theory. It is real life use. And it is shown even in our giving. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in this second book, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, he said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And what he's talking about is financial giving. So, what have we said? We've said that we're taking inventory of our individual commitment, of our fellowship with the body, of our influence, of our personal growth, of our sanctification, and of our giving. And, you know, 1 year from now, the first Sunday in January of 2015, we could then look back and say, okay, did I grow? Did I take inventory, and did I grow in all of these ways? If you want to see, I think, a very good inspired description of an inventory, read Revelation 2 and 3. Revelation 2 and 3. Those two chapters, the Lord dictates letters to 7 churches. And in those short letters to each church, Ephesus and others, all the way to Laodicea, he points out, this is what I see that I like, this is what I see that I don't like, And he tells those seven churches to do an inventory. And it's an inspired inventory. And that's subject for a whole other series of lessons, which we won't get into right now. But I want you to think about that. So, there is a little bit of thinking on taking inventory. It can be both satisfying and difficult. And how is your life's inventory? Are there adjustments that are needed? And what do you need to do today, this morning, to make sure that your inventory is one that helps you to grow? If you need to be baptized into Christ, we can assist you. If you need prayers, if you feel weak, if you feel you've become discouraged and you have drifted away from the Lord, we can pray in that situation. Whatever your need might be, come now while we stand and sing.